Welcome to the Titan Size Podcast. I'm Luke Worsham, joined by the other two hosts of the Titan Size Podcast, Matthias Wadner and Will Lomas. Tomorrow will be a very long day for the three of us because the Titans are playing in Nashville in prime time on Monday Night Football against divisional foe, the Indianapolis Colts, who they have not beaten in 11 attempts. So I want to go ahead and start with that. The last time that the Titans beat the Colts, their quarterback was Matt Hasselbeck. Their running back was Chris Johnson. It's been a very long time. Do you think it can get into these guys' heads? Because we saw them last year, like, knocking off playoff team after playoff team, but then they go into Indianapolis and just get throttled. So do you think it gets into their heads that, oh my goodness, we've lost to these guys 11 times in a row, we got to go out and beat them, and then they just, like, overthink it and psych themselves out?
I definitely think it's possible. They'll definitely be thinking about it in some capacity, but I think just being out on that field and not seeing Andrew Luck on the other side of the field kind of lightens that mental load, at least. So I'm not expecting them to go into this game with too much of their mindsets being on the fact that they haven't beaten this team in way too many years. But I'm expecting a good game from the Titans tomorrow, as long as Matt Castle's not our quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it'll get in their heads like that so much, but if you're down late in the game, I think it might be too easy to kind of say, you know, okay, well, now we're just one of 11 teams or one of 12 teams that have lost to the Colts. Not, you know, it's more like apathy at the end of the game. If everything's not going your way, you just feel like, you know, this impending sense of doom. Like, I can understand that more than any other way. But, I mean, the old cliche is, it's like all the rookies haven't lost to him. You know, Logan Ryan hadn't lost to him, and Adoree Jackson hadn't lost to him. You know, you have such a big part of your team that hasn't lost to him, that have come in free agency in the draft, that it should be enough new people that it's not really a big deal. And the roster turnover since Robinson took over to now is already like a huge, like 40 players. So, I mean, those guys have only lost a couple of times to the Colts. So I don't think the whole 11 in a row is in their head. But like I said, if everything kind of goes away from you towards the end, I can understand why there may be some apathy in there.
You know who's probably ready more than anybody to turn the page on that is Jarrell Casey, who is I think the only person other than Brett Kern and Carl Klug to have played all 11 of those games.
Oh, man, I cannot even imagine going through.
Morgan
would be the other one.
Morgan, probably, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess so. Those are the three.
Well, it's a good opportunity for Casey to really break out because he's had a bit of a slow start to the season. So
yeah,
well, hopefully he can showcase.
Well, I know the guy that watches the film and everything. Is the fact that Casey isn't producing statistically, does that actually show how he's played this year? Because to the eye of the beholder, it seems like he has regressed a lot in the first five games, anyway, of the season.
Well, it's weird because in the last two or three years, Casey will have like a two-sack performance and then like four games where he doesn't really do anything, but he's constantly in the back and penetrating and tracking backside. Now, I mean, I don't see any of that now. I don't know if it's a scheme thing. I don't know if it's because he doesn't have a nose tackle helping him the way they should. I don't know what it is, but he just doesn't have the same kind of penetrate, you know, rip in and get in the backfield and then make something happen that he has in the past two or three years.
Well, now he's only 27, which is the year when most players sign big-time free agent contracts. Yeah. So, I mean, it's not like he's past his prime or anything like that.
No, I mean, and I don't think it's indicative of where he's going. I don't think he's over the hill. And he usually has good games against the Colts, if I remember correctly. I mean, I think he got his 10th sack in that season. He got 10 sacks against the Colts. And I think he's always had pretty good success because they've not always had very good offensive lines. And Luck's always held the ball a little too long, so he's had more chances to get back there. But, you know, I expect him to have a good game this week, but, you know, it's not like I'm just so sure he's going to break out like I have been in the past. Like, I can just as easily see him having no sacks as two sacks this week, which is usually not how I feel about this point in the season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's weird. I feel like the last time this sort of kind of situation happened was when Chris Johnson got a huge, huge contract, and then he really didn't do – he wasn't as effective as he was before it. Well, there were a couple of reasons for that, but I don't feel the same way about Casey. I think he's going to get it together. He's just supremely talented, and I think he's going to have a good game tomorrow night and a good rest of the season, although I still think a scheme change on defense would help him.
Let's talk a little bit about the pass rush in general, like aside from Casey, because this was the one position all off season other than quarterback that the Titans did not bring in a single player. And I guess technically you could count like Eric Walden the day before training camp started. But other than Walden, who, by the way, I'm currently trying to figure out how many snaps he's played versus guys like Arakpo and Austin Johnson. So hold up on that stat. It'll be here in a second. But in the meantime, why has this pass rush been so ineffective? Because, you know, we're not used to having, you know, a Denver Broncos of 2015 where it's DeMarcus Ware and Von Miller and they're going to combine for 25 sacks. But, you know, you're used to Arakpo being a constant disruptor, and we talked about how Casey hasn't performed very well. Why can't this team get a pass rush? And it's not like they're playing superb offensive lines every single week.
Maybe because second-round pick Kevin Dodd has done nothing, and he offers nothing as a backup to Arakpo and Morgan. Walden's been fine, I think, but I don't know. They have 8 sacks right now through 5 games. That's 29th in the league. That's just not going to get it done in any capacity. You can't win games like that.
Arakpo only has, what, one of those?
Yeah, something like that. I don't know. I really didn't see that coming. Our pass rush wasn't terrible last year. It kind of tailed off towards the end because Arakpo and Morgan were playing crazy amounts of snaps and rushing so many times per game. But this season has been pretty bad, and we've seen it the last 2 weeks. So they need to get some going. We've been pretty outspoken about LeBeau not making many changes and him kind of getting exposed a little bit so far this season. So I don't know. I think they need a – well, actually, they blitz a pretty good amount. I really don't know how to fix it. Maybe Will knows.
Well, okay. So I've tried to be quiet on this a little bit because if you follow me on Twitter, I don't know how much I talk about on the podcast, but one of the most infuriating things that Dick LeBeau does is he brings good pressure – and he'll get you into 3rd and 7 or 3rd and 10 or a good down and distance, the distance you want to be in if you're a defense. And then he'll rush 3 and drop Brian Arakpo into coverage over the middle of the field and then give an easy completion over the middle. So while he may blitz on 1st and 2nd down effectively, on 3rd down he'll blitz 3 guys and drop everybody else into coverage, including a linebacker who's not very good in coverage, and then also another linebacker who's not very good in coverage in Avery Williamson. And you've got these two big holes in the middle of your defense that are just really easy to exploit, and that's exactly what happens. And if those aren't there, people look over to Bryce McCain or whoever the 3rd corner is, and they go that way. If you give any quarterback in the NFL 5 seconds to throw a pass and they can't complete a pass, then they're going to get replaced in that game. That's just the way it is. Quarterbacks like that don't exist, and they don't last long enough. So, you know, if you're going to do that, that's fine, but do that on your own 20, not when you're backed up, or on their 20, not when you're backed up to your own goal line, which is what LeBeau does at crucial times, which is why it gets them killed. Another big issue that the Titans have is they don't have a speed rusher. Brian Arakpo is more power and use based. Yeah, he's more get in your chest or outside rip and dip, and which is a good move. It works for him. But if you've got a bigger offensive tackle like that, that's not going to necessarily bother him too much. You know, that wouldn't beat Jack Conklin, just in as a reference point.
So I have numbers on the snap counts for Titans pass rushers, and this doesn't include like Williamson and Brown and Woodyard. This is only pass rushers. So the top 5 guys in terms of snaps. Number 5 is Sylvester Williams at 114. Number 4 is Daquan Jones at 174. So the jump is pretty big there. Number 3 is Eric Walden at 179. And then you have Arakpo at 2 with 248 and Morgan at 1 with 268. Honorable mentions, none of which got to 100 snaps. Austin Johnson has played 95, Carl Klug 82, and David King of 49.
Man, Klug and Johnson need to get more snaps.
Mm-hmm. David King does too. David King is deceptively good. Like, he forced the interception Ty Smith
sarcastic?
Got against the...
Because I can't really
tell. No, this is dishonest. So, the Jay Cutler interception that he threw to Ty Smith, David King is bull rushing, and he does kind of what Klug does, except he's in a bigger body where he just keeps kind of pushing that pocket, and so Castle throws off his back foot, and it sails on him, and it goes right to Ty Smith, and we get an interception. He doesn't play a lot of snaps in a game, but when he does, he's got that Klug motor, which is invaluable. You're only going to rush three guys, because if you rush three, you know, I don't like rushing three. We just talked about that, but if you're going to rush three, they have to be guys who are going to be 100% going. They're either getting to the quarterback or the play's going to be over, because they're not going to stop and just let themselves be blocked up. I mean, you need to have Casey, King, and Klug in there as your guys who, you know, are rushing, that guys who are, you know, athletic enough but big enough to continue to push a pocket and collapse it. And, those guys can make a difference. If you're going to have somebody like Sylvester Williams, who if you stop him on his first step, he just gets stood up and stops, then you're not going to get anywhere. But like I said, you know, I think King should play a lot more. Austin Johnson should play in first and second down a lot, because he's really doing well on going down the line of scrimmage and playing and filling gaps and making plays in the run. But on pass downs, I would have David King in there as – maybe the first guy to spell Jarrell Casey if Jarrell Casey wasn't going to be out there. I mean, I don't know who else I'd put.
By the way, Williams' grade on Pro Football Focus is a 49.
Too high.
That's about right. That's what I expected.
Yeah. And
dude, if this pass rush would be just any sort of competent, at least in terms of like getting sacks and getting more pressure, this defense would actually be pretty good, because the peripheral numbers are actually not bad. We're 7th in pass deflections, and we're 11th in both interceptions and forced fumbles. I mean, so
we've talked about it. Creating. Jackson gets better every week. Logan Ryan has manned the slot very well. Yeah. And, I mean, Kevin Byard's a star, and Cersei's done pretty well in the absence of Jonathan Cyprian.
Yeah, there you go. Just make a couple more, I mean, better pass rush and better pressure. And this defense could really help us win some more ball games, like they haven't been so far this season.
So I've been a big Avery Williamson supporter up until like the last year and a half or so, and it's slowly gone down. You gotta get him out of there.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know that Jayon Brown is necessarily the choice on first and second down, but I mean, it's not. You gotta get him out of there, especially on third down.
Okay,
well, play Darren Bates, play Nate Palmer, but I mean, goodness.
Why don't you just switch where Woodyard and Brown would play, and let Brown play the weaker side, and let Woodyard play the strong. I mean,
yeah,
Woodyard's doing everything. Woodyard's doing everything when he's out there anyway. Why not put him on the strong side of the field so he can make more plays, and then put Brown on the other side, and then do whatever you want, you know, on third down, but. You know, those two guys have to be out there. You know, it's to the point where Avery Williamson, I can't remember a play he's made. And not necessarily in just in a positive way, but, I mean, even in a negative way. I don't really remember him. I remember him getting beaten once earlier in the season for a touchdown, I believe, against – it was either against the Raiders or the Seahawks. I don't know which one. But other than that, like, I just don't see him. Like, he's never – close to the pass, he's never close to the run. You know, more often than not, when I go back and track him, he gets lost somewhere between the guard and center when they come up to the next level, and he just disappears. And for a guy who's supposed to stop the run, that can't happen.
I think I've seen him make one play. I think he tipped up a pass and we intercepted it. I can't remember which game it was, but you guys want to get weird on defense, when Cyprian comes back, just play him a linebacker.
Is that all that bad a decision? I mean, size would be the only worry I'd have, honestly.
Green Bay plays with, I believe they play with 6 defensive backs and 1 linebacker. Mm-hmm. And they put a safety in. Now, Packers fans hate it and say it doesn't work. You know, so I'm not sure that's the defense we should be copying. But, you know, it's not like it's unheard of around the league. I mean, Jeff Fisher got a ton of credit for putting Mark Barron at safety or at a linebacker and working him. You know, so there's a lot of guys.
Avery Williamson, the Cardinals do it too. 6'1", 238. Jonathan Cyprian is 6'even", 223. It's not that big of a size difference.
Not that crazy, yeah.
Yeah.
Plus, Byard could play the run just fine. You guys want to mix and match with them.
Yeah, Byard's probably our best run stuffer other than Woodyard. But
Woodyard's going to be a Pro Bowler.
Yeah, man, he is on fire.
Oh, yeah, I mean, he and Byard both should be. Now, if they get put out because other names are higher, whatever, but they are outstanding. You know, they make this defense watchable at times.
So let's talk a little bit about the quarterback matchup we're going to see tomorrow. A report came out from multiple people, Jason Lockin, Fora, Paul Kuharsky, saying that Marcus Mariota is going to be a full go tomorrow for the Titans. Let's just assume that that's true. I think it is, but for the purposes of this, let's just assume it is because I'm tired of talking about Matt Castle. So we're just going to assume that tomorrow night's quarterback matchup is Marcus Mariota versus Jacoby Brissett. If Mariota's, and I wrote about this a little bit today, even if Mariota's not 100%, and you know he can sprint fully, but he's not going to carry the ball five or six times like he usually does, I don't care. Sit him back in that pocket and let him pick apart that terrible defense with his arm that is 10 times better than Matt Castle's.
I don't care if he can't move. Just let him stay in the pocket.
They have the best pass protection in the league. Who cares if he can move?
Yeah.
Just step up in the pocket.
Yeah, it really doesn't matter. And he's got a fantastic arm, and he can just make any throw from the pocket as is. And the Colts really, I mean, who are they threatening you with in with pressure?
Malik,
they only have 11 sacks on the season.
Or just on defense in general?
Well, in general, but I mean, just the fact that Mariota isn't really going to have to scramble or do much inside the pocket, at least.
Their best pass rusher from last season is going to be on the other sideline tomorrow night, Eric Walden.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, that's true. The whole thing, they should do the same. If he can't move, they should do the exact same game plan they tried with Matt Castle. Go five wide, make it one or two reads, except Mariota can get through reads three times faster, so just let him have a full read and then let him throw it, and if it's not, there's nothing there, just let him throw it out of bounds. If you're going to do that with Matt Castle anyway, you might as well do it with Mariota, who actually knows the offense and knows how to get balls to people. I mean, if you're not going to do that, then put, if you feel uncomfortable for whatever reason in a spread, then put two tight ends on the line, put a fullback in, put Rashard Matthews over on the outside or Taywan Taylor, and then just run it, and then go for a chunk play. I mean, but you can't trot out Matt Castle and pretend like everything is fine. So, if Mariota's even able to put on pads tomorrow, he should be playing.
Yeah, Matt Castle wasn't even mobile in the last game. The only time he ever moved. Go ahead.
He there was a play where he rolled to the left and there was 30 yards of green grass, and he got so scared to run because he knew he would never make it that he pulled up and threw a duck, and I believe it went out of bounds. But I mean, it was one of, after watching Mariota, I mean, not even Mariota, after watching Locker, after watching Vince Young, after watching all these quarterbacks we've seen that are mobile over the last 15 years, see them tuck and run and get that first down. It was staggering to me to watch somebody give up all that green grass and just throw a duck out of bounds and just, kill a drive.
Even Ryan Fitzpatrick and Charlie Whitehurst were mobile to an extent.
Yeah, I mean, this is like watching Mettenberger without the arm strength.
Oh, man.
His feet were bricks in the pocket.
Dude, but it's like, it's not wrong. Like, That seems bad to say, but I mean, I don't see where you can argue with that after the cat. Now, maybe Miami's defense is just amazing. I mean, they beat the Falcons today. Maybe the defense really is good, and Castle is slightly better than we think. I've heard that point. I don't agree with that point, but I have heard it and understand that it can possibly be true. But I'm just saying at this point, if he's still the same guy who beat the Texans last year somehow, then cool. You can keep him as a backup for the rest of the year. But if that's as good as you're going to get, you've got to find somebody else now.
I mean, Castle has a 77 rating from last week on PFF.
Oh, that's That's true. He is
65 65 completion percentage. I mean, come on, man.
Is the end all be all for quarterbacks.
Yeah, I, that's the that high, is my
highest grade in a game than Mariota has gotten this year, because when you see a masterpiece like last week.
I mean, at a certain point, you can just tell. I mean, I shouldn't even had to know those numbers to tell how great he was when you saw it happen live.
So,
dude, you could just throw the ball out of bounds. I can't do that again.
So, he's obviously not Andrew Luck, who's one of the league's elite quarterbacks. But Jacoby Brissett has done a pretty decent job filling in his shoes so far. The Titans aren't going to need they can't sleep on him tomorrow. They can't expect another Jay Cutler performance from Jacoby Brissett.
No, he's surprised me a little bit. I mean, he showed a little bit in his time with the Patriots last year when Brady was suspended, but really not much. They hit him a little bit. But he's pretty mobile. He has 3 rushing touchdowns already this season. And he's got a pretty good arm. Like, he can sling it when he wants to. He is prone to making some poor decisions when he throws the ball. He has three interceptions to his 2 touchdowns. And, I mean, he's played fine. He hasn't been, like, otherworldly or whatever. But he's been pretty decent for their offense. And it's definitely not someone to take lightly, especially if they're playing against Jay Cutler last year. Not last year, last week. And holding him to a whopping 92 yards, that's not going to happen again. Yeah. And the Colts do have some solid pass catchers, so it's definitely not going to be a cakewalk on defense, but I think the defense should be fine tomorrow night.
So, talking about the pass rushing, coming back to it a little bit, in the 4 games that Brissett has started, he's been sacked 4 times, 3 times, 3 times, and 4 times. That's nearly half the Titans' season average, or not season average, season total, you know, in each game. They've got to get back there and disrupt him, or else he's going to feel comfortable like he never has before. I mean, teams have been able to get to Brissett with that offensive line that's full of holes. Jack Muhort just went on injured reserve, so the offensive line should be worse. If they can pressure him, I don't expect him to be great. I mean, he's fine. I mean, he's topped 300 yards once, and that was in a comeback effort against San Francisco. Not a comeback effort. An effort
the
against
whole game.
A team. Yeah, and an effort against the team that really just doesn't have it. So, I mean, 300 yards against them, okay, it's 300 yards. Against Seattle, he only passed for 157 yards, and that was a team that was in garbage time mode for the last half. I mean, mm-hmm. after the third quarter was over, it was such a vast difference in how the game felt. He could have checked down and gotten an extra 200 yards. You know, I don't know. I like him. I think he's a really good backup quarterback. After seeing what other backup quarterback situations look like around the NFL, they've definitely got one of the better ones. You know, everybody thought Hundley was going to be great for the Packers, and he wasn't very good today. You know, so there's a lot of teams struggling with their backup quarterback. So, you know, I give him credit as a good backup quarterback and a potential starter later down the road. But at the end of the day, he's got 2 passing touchdowns and 3 interceptions in over 4 games. I mean, that can't beat you.
He's got a little bit of that Deshaun Kizer in him. Because he kind of like holds the ball, because I think he likes to go deep more than, like you said, checking down. So I definitely think we can get to him just by waiting out in coverage and playing pretty good pass defense. So we should be able to rack up some sacks in this game. Better said than done, since we only have 8 on the season. But
yeah,
let's talk some about the Colts' weapons. And I don't expect this to be a very long segment because there aren't many of them. You have T.Y. Hilton, who is really, really good. But then you have the second best option, who is perhaps a tie between Dante Moncrief and Jack Doyle. So first of all, I'll ask, how will this team stop T.Y. Hilton, who they have never stopped? And second of all, how will this team stop Jack Doyle, who they have never stopped?
Well, We're definitely not going to stop T.Y. Hilton, so we could just... That's a pipe dream.
Here's what's going to happen. They're going to... You know, Adoree Jackson, one of the fastest players in the NFL already. No one's debating that, right? He's super fast. They're going to put him on Dante Moncrief, who's that big possession receiver, and let Bryce McCain try to chase T.Y. Hilton downfield, because that really worked out well last year.
I actually think, because T.Y. Hilton lines up a lot in the slot.
Yeah, that's going to be the issue with getting Adoree Jackson on him.
Right, but Logan Ryan's been playing a lot of snaps in the slot, and he's been pretty good this season. So I actually don't think T.Y. Hilton's going to go like off like he would have last year or the past couple of years. off, yeah. But, yeah, I'm definitely still concerned. I mean, he can hit a long one at any point. The good thing is, we really haven't given up that many big plays through the passing game or even through the running game. So
as long as we don't have that Parrish Cox touchdown from last year, the one against in Indianapolis where he could have put his hand out and broken the pass up.
Yeah, no, I don't. Let's just not never talk about Parrish Cox ever again.
Dude, that Bleeder Ray Wilson, we've seen that happen a million times.
Why? Ray Why Wilson, most fondly remembered by Titans fans for getting mossed by Andy Dalton.
Oh, God. Yeah, that was
my living nightmare. That yes, it's burned into my mind. I'll never forget that. Mohamed Sanu, I believe, to Andy Dalton. Oh, that was just terrible. I'm going to tell you exactly what Dick LeBeau's going to do, by the way, to stop T.Y. Hilton. He's going to leave Adoree Jackson on the left boundary. He's going to leave LeSean Sims or Bryce McCain on the right boundary, and he's going to have Logan Ryan in the slot, and he's just going to hope it works out. That's what he does. That's his defense. He firmly believes now in boundary corners and slot corners, and you don't mix up their sides because you've really got to let them, you know, they've really got to be comfortable where they are, and you're not going to get extra safety help. You're going to get exactly as much safety help as the formation dictates, and good luck.
The issue with like keeping Byard over the top the whole game, because that means that Byard can't be over the top of Jack Doyle.
What he should do is he should come down and play man on Jack Doyle anytime they split him off the line, which they will some. They'll put him in a slot and they'll move him around. And if they don't, then that's fine. You can leave Jayon Brown on him in the box. But, you know, if they're going to move him around, they should bring Byard down to have him cover, and you should go one single high and you should bring pressure. That should be your response is, okay, we're going to let you have this, and you're going to have single coverage with just one high safety, but we're going to bring more than you can block, and you're going to have to get it out quick and on target with your second-string quarterback. I mean, that's the way you deal with a guy like that, and you just hope your coverage lasts long enough on the back end, or you hope you get a good, you know, a big, you know, sack or a fumble or something. Like, you know, you hope you get something on your end. But what you can't do is you can't say, okay, you've got a weapon in the middle and a weapon on the outside. So what we're going to do is we're going to leave everybody back at deep safety, and we're just going to leave our corners exactly where they are. And so you know exactly what we're running, and we have no idea what you're running, and hopefully we beat you. Because that doesn't work. And the answer to that is not to drop Brian Arakpo in coverage in the middle of the field. So hopefully we see some changes, and they adjust to it more than they did to the Hopkins-Fuller situation and with when we played the Texans. But if they don't, that's just what the Titans are going to do for the rest of the year, and everybody's going to know it after this game.
The Titans haven't really gotten, like, destroyed by tight ends like they have in recent years. I think Jimmy Graham had a good game against us. Jared Cook made a couple catches.
Most of Jimmy Graham's stuff was in garbage time, though.
Yeah, exactly.
And by the way, did you see when we never talked about this? Did you see when he tried to hurdle? I don't even remember who he was trying to hurdle.
Yeah, that was amazing.
He came like 2 inches off the ground.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
Yeah, but yeah, we really haven't been terrible at defending tight ends this season. So I don't think Jack Doyle is going to have that game that he had last year in Tennessee. What he 9 catches, 78 yards and a touchdown. I'm not expecting that to happen again. I really hope not, because that'll just be demoralizing, especially since he was on our practice squad. A lot of people don't remember that, but it was real. It happened. We could have used him, but instead he was just used against us. But I think we'll be fine. I don't think we're going to give up like that. Remember, give up a long catch to even Eric Swoop last season. But just thankfully, Andrew Luck isn't behind center, and he won't be able to pick out those mismatches.
I'm thrilled to every year get to watch Andrew Luck in person because of how good he is, but I think I'm going to be okay not getting to watch him this year.
Totally fine with
it. I saw Peyton Manning in person. I don't need to see any good quarterback in a Colts uniform ever again. I've had that experience. That's great. I'll just have one guy come to town every year like we did it with Aaron Rodgers. I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's move on and talk about now the Titans offense versus the Colts defense. The running game has been awful. The passing game has been awful. The pass protection has been pretty good. If there's some silver lining. So you're going to have Mariota back if you're the Titans, but you're not going to have Corey Davis back, so you're still stuck with the trio of Taywan ineffective, not touching the ball enough Taylor, Rashard wants to retire if he can't stand for the, or if he can't sit for the anthem, Matthews, and Eric, better on his TV show than on the football field, Decker. It's a rough core of receivers. You do have two pretty good tight ends in Jonnu Smith and Pro Bowler Delanie Walker. What does this offense need to do to get on track? I said all offseason that they needed to find a scat back, and I'm saying that more than ever now. They need some sort of change of pace. You do not need Adrian Peterson or Barry Sanders to have a good running game. You can have a good running game with the duo of DeMarco Murray and Derrick Henry. They showed that last year. But it's become so vanilla, and it's these two power guys. And yeah, DeMarco's very good catching passes out of the backfield, but there is no change of pace at all. There is no element of speed in this offense still, which was the big problem last year. And I honestly thought last week against the Dolphins was going to be the game because of how bad the offense was, where Adoree Jackson got to touch the ball on offense. Didn't happen. What's wrong with this offense? Why are they so bad? And let's not act like they weren't bad before Marcus went down, because they were terrible against Houston, got off to an awful start in that game. And other than the Oakland Raiders game when they scored a touchdown on their opening drive and didn't score again, I remind you, they've been awful in every single first half.
Can we just talk about the wide receiving core? Because this was supposed to be the strength of the team. And we thought we were going to go into the season with eight receivers because we just had a luxury of riches.
The Titans, you talk about the luxury of riches. They had the salary cap and they had the fifth overall draft pick. They used the salary cap on Logan Ryan, Jonathan Cyprian to help the secondary. They used that number five draft pick on Corey Davis, college football's all-time leading receiver, supposed to come in and be a stud. He hasn't played yet. Not his fault. Certainly not calling him a bust like a bunch of people on Facebook and Twitter seem to think he is. But, I mean, they don't have the crown jewel of their offseason. I wrote about it this week. A lot of people don't realize how huge a resource the fifth overall pick in the draft is. Like, a lot of years, you can trade that for an inordinate amount of future picks. And the fact that they were willing to stay in a spot, Trader John Robinson, stayed in a spot and picked that guy, that means that he thinks he is going to be huge. And he had the opportunity to bring in guys like Terrell Pryor for not all that much and Alshon Jeffrey on a one-year contract. But he said, nope, I'm sticking with Corey Davis. And he hadn't been there. And it's not his fault, but, I mean, the crown jewel of the offseason isn't there. And he was supposed to fix the offense, and you can't fix the offense when you're on the sideline.
Also, our best receiver was cut, and he's making big plays for the Bears. I'm joking.
Rest in peace, don't do that. Oh, Trey McBride.
No, not Kendall Wright. Not Kendall Wright.
Yeah, that's funny.
Not Kendall. Man, but I don't know. Something's got to change.
Look, I almost wrote about this today. I feel like the Titans' offense after the bye week is going to be the second or third best offense in the NFL.
Because they're going to have Corey Davis.
Because they're going to have Corey Davis, and they're going to have their starting quarterback back fully healthy.
They also Douglas, too, potentially.
Yeah, they might have Harry Douglas, who's deceptively a pretty decent receiver. And then, you know, all of a sudden, you finally give Eric Decker an extra week to just take off and let his ankle heal, which every time you see him, he's got a wrap on his ankle, which I have to think is a bigger issue. Because, I mean, that
does he look like he's lost weight to you guys? He just looks skinnier than he did when he was a Jet and a Bronco.
I don't know, but like I remember watching him this summer just smoking Carolina Panthers. Like that guy, when he's healthy, still has a lot left in the tank. Like I'm not going to write him off. Like he was killing guys who were, you know, just shutting down the Patriots wide receivers. So I'm fine holding out hope for him. You'll get him healthy. You'll get Corey Davis back, who I'm not sure if Corey Davis could play this week if it was the last week of the season and we needed to get a win to get in the playoffs. But Malarkey sounded really upbeat about him on the Tuesday or Monday press conference when he brought him up. So I think there's something there. I think he'll play the week before the bye week, and then he'll get a full week of rest, and then he'll be ready to go. I think the bye week will give him a chance to really implement Taywan Taylor, you know, get your playmakers in position to make plays. And Jonnu Smith, he's going to be, you know, he's going to make an impact. But just the wide receivers, I think Rishard Matthews would be as good of a number two as there is in the NFL. I think Eric Decker and Taywan Taylor should be doing better in the slot. I think the fact that they're trying to use Eric Decker as a chain mover on third downs instead of as, you know, almost an extra blocker and running out of that slot where they have the three wide receivers and then run into that side, I think that's a mistake. I think it kind of tips your hand when people know to kind of cover him up extra tight on third downs. But that's a Rubisky thing. I have my disagreements with him in general. But, I mean, the wide receiving core, once Corey Davis is healthy, should just get better from the top to bottom. It's like if Julio Jones was injured in terms of the fact that I think Corey Davis can be a real number one wide receiver. And when everybody has to move up a rung, they all have to go against better talent. They have to do stuff they didn't think they were going to have to do coming into the season. And it just changes the way you build your offense. So I'm not ready to push the panic button yet, especially since I think through three games of the season, we were the fifth scoring offense in the NFL, fifth or sixth, maybe sixth scoring offense in the NFL when Mariota was healthy and had all his starters out there. So I'm not ready to really write this team off offensively yet.
I mean, and yeah, to your point, like I think you were trying to say this, Davis doesn't have to come in and be Julio Jones immediately.
Right.
It's just without him, this offense's best downfield threat is Delanie Walker, who, all due respect to him, as good as he is, he's a 33-year-old tight end. Like, you're not going to win games like that if that's your offense.
Well, yeah, because our best deep threat has gotten two touches the last two games, and they've been running plays. Why is Taywan Taylor not getting any touches? I don't know.
What happened to the preseason? I think we talked about this on Monday. What happened to the preseason when they were doing everything in their power to get him the ball five or six times?
Or the Jaguars game, where they threw him the deep route. So, Malarkey said something on this. He said there's little things he's not doing right, which is just...
Oh my gosh, that's Malarkey in a nutshell.
The way it is he likes his older players, and I, for whatever reason, I think he's trying to protect Eric Decker. I think he knows that Taywan Taylor is going to take his job, and I think after the bye week, you'll see a lot more of him. But there's some weird thing that all these older head coaches do. Jeff Fisher did it. John Fox, they really don't like starting their younger guys over their older guys. It's just not the way that they are supposed to do it. Whatever.
Mike like, Malarkey, I don't love him to death. He could have Calvin Johnson throw him the ball twice, line him up in the backfield and give him a handoff for 3 yards. And then be like, well, I don't think he's doing enough. I mean, he's not hitting his points running routes. He really needs to work on... Like, what?
Yeah, it's and in Rubisky's head, I don't know what he thinks Taywan Taylor is. What Taywan Taylor is a slightly less refined version of Antonio Brown's. That jackrabbit you want to get the ball to and let him go and let him beat people deep and let him track the ball in the air and high point and catch it. I mean, we all remember the Jets catch in the preseason where he turned around and just jumped and plucked a ball out of air that he had no business catching. And, you know, he's got great hands. He beat A.J. Boye, who's turned out to be one of the better corners in the NFL, and he beat him on a deep route for 40 yards when they played Jacksonville. You know, there's this clear evidence where he is a really good wide receiver waiting to be fed, and Trubisky wants to use him like Dexter McCluster or like Darren Sproles. Or, you know, he thinks he's – and I don't know if it's a size issue. I don't know if he thinks because he's small and shorter that he's got to be used as a gadget guy. But there's some fundamental difference they have, and I hope during the bye week – I know we're not really talking about the bye week yet, but I hope during the bye week John Robinson comes down and talks to Terry Trubisky and says, look, let me show you what I saw in this guy when I drafted him, and you tell me why he can't do that now and why you're running him like this in your offense.
You know who Taiwan could be like? Like Stephon Diggs in Minnesota. But they don't use him in that way at all. They don't. Minnesota doesn't use Stephon Diggs like a gadget player, even though he's on the smaller side of like a number one receiver archetype. And they don't use him on running plays. They don't use him in just specific situations. They just put him outside, or they line him up in the slot, and they let him go to work because he can beat his cornerbacks that he's facing up against just with great routes. And we've seen Taiwan shake defenders on routes. I can't remember who it was. I think it might have been – it was either Shaquille Griffin from the Seahawks. I don't know. It was a really nice route. He burned him, and he made the defender lose his shoe. I mean –
it's probably Jeremy Lane, who had that really rough game against the Titans.
It could have been Lane. I'm honestly not sure. But just use Taiwan Taylor. And also to the people that think that Rishard Matthews is just replaceable because of his personal preferences and his personal thoughts and whatever, he is not replaceable.
No.
This team would be nothing without him on offense.
Although it has been weird. He's had an odd spell of social media issues lately. But
oh, it's been weird. Will's conspiracy theory is coming true soon. It's happening.
if that happens, we'll do like a podcast long episode on it. Real quick. Real quick before we change topics, I looked up Taiwan Taylor on Jim Coburn's draft guide.
Mm-hmm.
Friend of the podcast, Jim Coburn. He says he has him projected as a long-term starter and potential Pro Bowler. His analysis is, Taiwan Taylor has an excellent profile across the board, above average explosiveness, speed, and elite flexibility traits. In addition to elite market share production, Taylor has a very good shot of becoming a long-term starter and pro caliber player based on this profile. The only concern is level of competition. For a third-round pick, that's about as good as you can hope for. Mm-hmm. You know, elite production, elite athleticism. That screams outside receiver, you know, one of your top two receivers to me. Now, if Trubisky thinks he should be a gadget guy, that's you know, his hill to die on. But all the evidence says he should be out there with Rashard and two wide receiver sets.
You know who they're trying to turn him into? They're trying to turn him into Tavon Austin.
Oh, God.
Oh, cool. Vomit.
Just peeped in my mouth.
The worst thing you could have said. Yeah.
So as we near the end, it's Monday Night Football, so I thought we'd end with a little game. It's going to be kind of a boring game, not as good as I thought before I actually did the research for this. So we joke all the time about how the Colts like to pick up the Titans' washed-up garbage. And I'm not calling these players washed up garbage, but I mean, that's just the joke we often make. So I want to see if either one of you can name all of the former Titans that currently are on the Colts active roster.
Wait, say it again? I didn't.
Name the former Titans who are currently on the Colts active roster.
All right.
Okay. Jack Spence.
Spence is not Doyle on the active Spence. Roster.
Oh, he got cut?
He did, I think.
Yeah, he's like
I'm
cut.
I'm disqualified. Like,
so it's Jack Doyle and Al Woods for sure.
That's it.
Al Woods, yeah.
Oh, is that it?
Yep.
Oh, that's right, because we have Schwenke back. That's right.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be a lot more than that, because it would have been four to start the season, because they would have had Schwenke and, well, not Walt.
Oh, right. I forgot we have Schwanky, man. I haven't even seen him.
Yeah, he's on the sidelines. He looks super funny. Like, he's on the sidelines, like, always talking. Like, he talked to Taylor Lewan, I think, when Taylor Lewan came out the other day, and I remember that. I was like, it's weird that he's active, and I forget he's even on the roster.
And, by the way, Taylor Lewan practiced in full on Friday. He will undoubtedly play Monday night.
Yeah. Yeah.
The only
people ruled out are Davis and Cyprian.
Cyprian, yep. That'll be it for us. Enjoy the game. It's always fun when the Titans play in prime time. Have fun and enjoy the game. Let's hope for a Titans win, and let's hope that the Titans become the second team from Tennessee in the last couple of years to end an 11-game losing streak. Butch Jones, shout out on the podcast.
There you go.
Until next time, when we are back to recap this game later in the week, for Matthias Wadner, Will Lomas, I'm Luke Worsham. This has been the Titan Size Podcast. Thank you for listening.